Hi, everyone. This is Dr. Cheryl Selman, and welcome to The Love Code. Thanks for joining me for another wonderful, inspiring, uplifting conversation. And, you know, I always like to say I so enjoy doing these podcasts, especially The Love Code, because this is a show that really is all about the spiritual dimension of our being. And it's always uplifting to have these conversations because it's here to remind you of the power we have, of our connection to all of life, to the true healing essence that we are, and that true connection to love. So I trust you'll enjoy another wonderful conversation, and we'll be listening every week. I'm here every week on Progressive Radio Network. And by the way, I have another program on Progressive Radio Network called What Women Must Know, and that's every Thursday at 4 p.m. And What Women Must Know is a show that is all about health, healing, well-being on many levels. So all these shows are great opportunities to continue the journey of self-discovery and empowering ourselves with the knowledge and the wisdom. And I want to just jump into our conversation today because I have such a fascinating guest. Today I'm talking with Tammy Billup. And Tammy is a holistic practitioner who has many gifts. So 22 years ago, after her mother and all three of her animal companions returned to spirit within a few months' time, she suddenly had access to seeing, sensing, and feeling energy. Tammy then embarked on a deep inner healing journey, and in turn, the many medications she was destined to take the rest of her life were no longer needed. Tammy is now a celebrated international authority on healing for both humans and animals. She's a certified interfaith therapist, award-winning author, and healer to the healers. And she's a pioneer and global educator on the animal-human relationship, with two award-winning books on the subject and two proprietary masterclass courses. Her third book, Animal Way Showers, The Lightworkers Ushering in 5G Consciousness, was just published in November. And that's what we're going to be talking about, the Animal Way Showers, The Lightworkers Ushering in 5G Consciousness, which is a fascinating topic. And if you're not quite sure what that book and the message is all about, well, then stay tuned because you're in the right place to be inspired and to just really embrace the gift of your animal companions if you have them, and if you don't, appreciate animals in your life and however they may appear. So let me welcome Tammy to the show today. Tammy, it's a pleasure having you on The Love Code, and welcome.
No, thank you, Dr. Cheryl. Happy to be here.
Well, you're an interesting person, for sure. I don't know if anyone has told you. You probably get told a lot. But, you know, being able to have these gifts always makes life such an adventure, doesn't it?
Oh, my gosh, yes. I wasn't quite so interesting before the last 22 years. Now I'm wondering what I did before then.
Yes, well, we are all here to discover. When I do these conversations, I always find it so fascinating to learn about the journey that my guests have taken, because we all have had a journey to take us to the place where we are experiencing our true spiritual purpose and our gifts and the healing powers that we have. So I would love for you to share a bit about your story. Obviously, from the brief bio I did, you had your own challenges early in life. And I think it's so important to share the journeys because in my life, as I look back, those most challenging times, those times that seem to be the darkest, where we feel there's no light, no way out, are often the points of profound transformation that reveal to us the greater purpose in our life. So I would love for you to share a bit about your journey, Tammy.
Happy to. And you just described what happened to me, by the way, in that I definitely had this, you know, at the time I called it a rude awakening because it was a very difficult period of time. But I think the backstory that's I think prevalent to where I am now is that, you know, I did the career thing. I had a lot of traumatic abuse growing up and many different kinds of abuse that very unpleasant, and so many light workers have chosen these types of paths, I believe, to experience a lot through contrast, as I say, because we learn through being abused how we don't want to be treated. And we hope, at least I think at a soul level, we're hoping to get that, and so that we can then get the lesson of being more empathetic towards others. But I was sick a lot. I did this fabulous career thing, but I didn't let a lot of people get close to me. But my goodness, I let my animals get close to me, and they serve such a fabulous purpose for people who don't let two-legged people get close to them. So, yes, right around the end of 1999, my mother found out she had stage 5 melanoma, and they gave her a year and a half, and she was gone in 6 weeks. And through her process, it was really interesting because I was not raised with any religious background whatsoever. There was never a church in my childhood. Those were where people that were good went, and we weren't good. And so seeing what she went through in her last 6 weeks of her life was just fascinating to me, because she would all of a sudden go into this trance state, and then she would come back out of it and say, oh, I was just speaking to so-and-so, and I knew that person was on the other side, and they were no longer in body. And so I just started asking her, well, what was your conversation like? And she would just share all of that, and I began to have this very spiritual awakening of, oh, my gosh, there's this other realm. There's this other dimension that I didn't know was there. And pretty quickly after she passed, like you said, all three of my animal companions at 6, 8, and 11 years of age, they also transitioned back to spirit as if they had gotten me to that point and they could then release. And almost immediately, I needed a lot of help and went to someone, and they said they did this alternative thing, and I said, I'm open to it. I just want to feel better. I'm not having a great year, because all of these memories were also released. And as soon as I got up from her table, she did this, energy healing work, and I sat up from her table, and I looked at her with utmost clarity, and I said, I want to do what you do. And I never had that happen before, ever in my life. I was always chasing someone else's dream or some dream I thought I should have. And from that moment forward is when I knew that this was the path that I should be on.
Well, you know, it takes such a, I would say, a profound experience of loss of mm-hmm. the world that you knew, to be awakened to the world that you were meant to live.
Absolutely. I mean, everything changed. All my beliefs changed. There were friends changed. All my relationships changed through that pivotal year of great, great loss and remembering who I was, I think, at a soul level and what I really came to do. It was, like you mentioned or alluded to, that it was the worst year of my life, but it was also the best year because it catapulted me onto the path that I've been on and love what I do. I love this rewarding work. And now I'm just so blessed and grateful to get to share it.
You know, when you've come from that path and then you had that profound transformational year and you've moved on and do the work you're doing now, I would imagine you look back and you just filled with such gratitude for everything that has occurred, because without everything occurring, you couldn't be where you are now.
Absolutely. Undoubtedly. I'm so grateful. And you can also see, you can connect those dots from even before that year as to all of these physical ailments I have. And so energetically now when I connect to a person or an animal, and I can immediately feel what they're feeling, and I'll know what it is because I've had that in the past. You know, oh, that's gallstones. Oh, that's, you know, I just go through the gamut of lists, and it, I can just see for everything connected, you know, as it always is for everyone, you know, where we're guided every step along the way. And to be able to have that level of awareness and look back and say, I can see now why I needed to have that experience and this one and that relationship so that I could learn from each of those things to rebirth the new me. And we're doing that all the time, aren't we?
We are. And that's such a profound statement to make and to share with all the listeners now, is to understand that everything that we experience in life, no matter how we judge it in the moment, is really designed to be a gift to us. But we may need some perspective and hindsight and time to be able to fully appreciate what we are experiencing, especially when we, it's unpleasant or when we judge it, or it's, you know, emotionally challenging. But there will come a time when you look back and you're grateful because it has led you to a greater place within your own being, your own purpose. And it's always good to be reminded about that, isn't it, Tammy? Because when people are having challenging times, we don't, we can't see, like we're lost in a dark pit and we don't see any light, nor do we ever think there could be ever any light coming
right.
in. But always there will be, always.
Absolutely, there will be. And it allows us to even in the midst of it, when we learn that reflecting upon these things has proved helpful for our journey, then in the midst of it, we can say, okay, help me get to the gifts sooner, please. Help me get to the gifts of this experience so that it can be behind me. And you can detach a bit from it and begin to see where it might be lining up for the lessons that our soul wanted.
So do you consider yourself a medical intuitive or an animal communicator? How do you define yourself in what you do?
That's such a great question. I really look at myself as a healer because I believe what I'm doing is helping people and animals get to the core emotional wound that might be behind behaviors or behind physical manifestations. And I don't really look at it as animal communication, though I'm sure some clients would say that. But I get jazzed up about getting to that original wound so that they're going to be that long-term wellness that shows up, and it's not just a quick fix.
And that's really the essence of healing, is getting to the wound. I certainly understand that as a, you know, as a psychotherapist and naturopath, and being able to combine the many skills and techniques I've learned and being on my own spiritual journey, it's always so profound when that moment arrives in a person's life when they really have healed that deep misperception, I call it, from who they are, and then their lives suddenly transform and their health suddenly transforms in a profound way, which is really the journey, which is why you have to do that deep healing work of the womb, as well as take care of the body and, the, you know, take care of the physical on many levels as well. Let's talk about your new book, because it's a really interesting, it's an interesting topic. It's an, you know, obviously interesting evolution of your work to talk about this 5G consciousness, how animals, way showers are bringing us into the light. So I think we need to define a few things before we have this conversation, Tammy. So let's talk about 5G consciousness first, and then we can go from there.
Okay. So 5G consciousness is a way of, well, it's it's a tangible frequency, actually. We know that we're living in a 3D world, right? And that 3D comes with these lovely human experiences and a lot of duality and right and wrong and you know, yin and yang and really the 5D consciousness is what brings it all together. So it is a tangible frequency, a vibration, and we all have experiences of 5D every time we're feeling that beautiful gratitude where our eyes well up, you know, and we're thinking about someone, or we're laughing, or we're creating, or we're in self-love and accepting and non-judgment. Those are frequencies within each of those, you know, feelings, tangible frequencies within those. So that's living in 5D. And we all strive to live with more of those experiences where we are seeing that higher picture and knowing that we're all connected and living in that land of love consciousness more frequently. We're all living these, you know, we're all human, so we're going to be dipping around in that a bit with every time we have fear, we'll drop right back down into 3D. But the goal is to live like our animals do with more greater frequency, is to live in that higher vibration so that things are easier for us and there's less suffering and there's not duality. And isn't that what we all want?
Well, I think that is our true essence of who we are. Anyway, so yes, we're moving towards that. So it's interesting that you, in this new book of the work you've been doing in your animal way showers, ushering in the light 5G, what brought this about? Tell us about how you arrived at this particular subject to share and some of the important things that the animals are teaching us at this point.
Oh gosh, that would, you know, how long do we have? They're teaching us so much. Oh, you know, this book, you know, my first book was really, you know, it was about the core emotional wounds of animals and people. And the second book was about the contracts we have, the soul contracts we have with animals. And those were kind of the bones of my work. And then I thought, well, I don't have anything else to write about. And I was fine with that. But then all of a sudden, the more I'm working with animals and their people on their soul contracts, I just kept running into all around the globe these learning what some animals are doing at a higher level and how they're partnering with people. And I'd hear these fantastic stories about how this animal, you know, always worked with this psychotherapist and she'd do these women's circles and she would tell me how the dog went around to every female and would tap them in a certain place on their body. And I mean, these animals are ushering in a way of being. And so after, you know, years and years and years of meeting so many of these animals that, and learning about what they're doing for the humans around them and the animals around them, I thought, you know, I want to share more about what the soul missions are of domesticated animals, because I look at domesticated animals as being on the front lines of the animal kingdom's mission to raise the consciousness of humanity. And boy, that's a big gift, isn't it? I mean, animals have ushered in this way of being and modeled it for us to emulate since the dawn of time. I mean, they have made dramatic changes for humanity. And so I really wanted to document more about what they're doing for us, what they're doing for us in the different levels of 3D, 4D, 5D, how the animal relationships we have show up in the different vibrations, and then maybe even dip more into how we, you know, reincarnation with our animals and how we choose the soul path of the different animals that come to us. You know, are those things planned? And I wanted to really give the overview of this extraordinary relationship that humanity has with domesticated animals and what they're doing for us. So once that came through, then all of a sudden the animals just showed up, and I knew which stories I wanted to share. And the gift from that particular animal, there's many stories that I talk about in the book, and as I kind of sit and channel the energy of that animal as I'm writing it about that animal and their person and the gift that they brought forth, well, then I'm giving an exercise from that animal for people to do on healing forgiveness or on tapping into their, you know, their soul group or whatever the gift of that particular animal's lesson is for the reader. And so it was really surprising to me, actually, that this came through. But, oh, my gosh, it's such a pleasure to an honor to really have, you know, be the voice for these particular animals because they have much to teach people.
Well, you know, you said so much there. The interesting thought that you shared initially was that our domestic animals, and by the way, I don't have any animal companions at this point. No one has shown up yet. Mm-hmm. The thought that domestic animals, however they manifest, are on the front lines of helping humanity to transform is a fascinating thought to hold. Just that thought. I've never had that thought before, that they actually have come in for this purpose of teaching humans, and they always have, I guess, but even more importantly now at this point in our evolutionary journey to learn these frequencies of love, unconditional love, and the knowingness that animals have. So, yeah, it's so interesting to think of it in that way and perceive it in that way. So Tammy, I'm sure you've got lots of stories. Why don't you share some of the profound experiences and stories either that you have had or you know of that helps to explain how this is working in people's lives?
Sure. So I'm trying to think of my mind going through the Rolodex of the options right now.
Yeah, so many to choose from.
Yes, there are. There really are. There's one dog that I wrote about in the book. His name is Bear, and his two-legged person, had recently lost two animals and was looking for, was thinking that she might be ready, as she had grieved many months, to find a new animal. And people kept giving her bears out of the blue. And it was one of those things where she, you know, she was just surprised that, you know, she won a painting and it was a bear. She didn't know it was a bear. There were all these bears coming at her. And then she found out about a dog that needed a new home, that his dad was a trucker and he couldn't be home with him. And she said, "What's his name?" And they said, "His name is Bear." And from the moment that Felicity met him, they were so connected at a soul level. There was a deep soul bond. And many people who have animals and have multiple animals in their past, they'll be able to tell you that there was one particular animal that made a big difference in their lives. And it was especially hard to lose that particular animal. Not that they don't love the others, but that that animal is usually holding a higher vibration and came in to teach that person multiple things and to help them become more of their best self. And in the case of Felicity and Bear, Bear was very social, and he was a little 10-pound dog that it would put in one of those little halters in the front of her body, you know, or whatever those carrying things are. I have cats, so I'm not good on dog terms sometimes. But people would come up all the time, and they'd immediately feel better, of course, getting to meet Bear. And she was an introvert. She didn't want to be around people. She had not embraced her life path, which turned out to be that now she's this beautiful sound therapist where she uses singing bowls and flutes and all kinds of beautiful musical instruments. But she was petrified to do it because she's an introvert. Well, of course, she brought Bear with her, and Bear would go around and meet everyone so that and calm her down. and helped her to embrace her new life path. And he was one of those dogs that literally worked the room. And 5 minutes before she would start her sound immersions, if you've ever heard of such, that everyone's lying on the ground and they kind of go within. It's like a meditative type of beautiful experience. And Bear would literally, 5 minutes before she would begin playing the bowls, he would go lay down in the center of the room and hold sacred space and knew instinctively what each person there needed. And through their beautiful love partnership, she became her best self. And Bear's message that I think it was for everyone that reads the book, he was really, really good at when they would go home from working, I'm doing quotation marks around working, because they did a lot of therapy groups and everything where Bear would be helping others as well. When they would go home, she would need that cuddle time too, as if, okay, now I want some Bear magic. And he would go off on his own into the other room and go meditate and have to refuel from everything he just did. And he unabashedly would take that time that he needed to refuel. And I think that's such an important lesson for everyone, and especially those that are light workers or doing any type of work helping others, that you need that self-love, that you need to take that time to replenish and refuel and just chill and unplug. And we don't give ourselves permission to do that. And to me, that's what Bear wanted to share with the readers, was give yourself permission to do what's right for you and refuel after you've worked. You don't have to keep doing, you know. And so I could go on and on and on, but that's one of the examples that popped up in my mind, but I'm happy to share another one.
Oh, yeah. Let's hear another one.
Okay. Well, a little bit different story. The next one that's popping up in my mind is a dog that, and this is more about how they can show up in the moment for their person. A little bit different type of message. But there, another dog story. So there was a woman, and she was getting ready to go through, she had made a decision that it was best for her to get a divorce. And it was a very difficult decision. And of course they had a dog. I think the dog's name is Angel. And Angel was very close to her, you know, they had a very close, tight relationship. And the odd thing that Angel would do was that every time that she would have plans to go look at apartments, all of a sudden she'd get her purse and she'd get ready to walk out the door, and the dog all of a sudden was limping and couldn't walk. And she would, oh, my gosh. I mean, if for anyone for their two-legged or their four-legged child, you would stop everything you're doing. Your animal can't walk. And she would take and rush her to the vet. And the vet would say, well, everything looks fine. It might just be the breed, and just watch her and take her home. And they would get home, and she would set her down, and the dog was walking fine. And each time, though, right before she would get ready to go look at apartments, all of a sudden the same thing would happen. And finally she put this together, right? And she said, oh, my gosh, could it be connected to the fact that this dog knows exactly what I'm doing and doesn't want me to do this? And anyway, long story short is that this dog saved their marriage, because she ended up, you know, talking to her husband, and they worked things out, and they still to this day will say that Angel saved their marriage. You know, and that's just one of them. There's just so many things that these animals don't miss a beat. They are working for you all the time, even when you think they're not. They can read a room. They are so living in 5D consciousness that they can walk in a room and know exactly who needs to go outside and play and who needs to chill and who needs healing, because they're reading the energy of the room. And that is living in 5D.
You know, that's such an interesting thought to share with people. And that is that to look at your animal companions, like fish, can't even call them pets anymore, right? And your animal companions in a new way, that not just having a pet. No, you actually have this other being that has come into your life that has a very unique way to perceive reality and to be there to serve you. And that's a shift, right? That's a shift of perception for people towards their animal companions, is to see them in this light as almost, you might say, a healing presence or a healing guide in their life. And I think just shifting that perception allows people to see their relationships with animals in a different way.
Yes, and the closer emotionally you are to your animals, the more of a soul partnership you have. So you're evolving together. You're on the journey together with great intention. So someone that might be listening, if you get really close to your animal, believe me, you've got soul contracts. You knew you were going to be together, and they're working hard on your behalf.
In your book, there's a story that is about a turtle. So, you know, we think about animal companions as dogs and cats, and, you know, maybe there's a horse in someone's life, or, you know, a variety of animals. But you don't normally think of animal companions as turtles or snakes, for instance. And can you share the story about the turtle in that classroom? That was so interesting, because it brings into the awareness that it's not just your normal kind of animal relationship with dogs and cats. It actually goes far beyond that.
It does. And Sherry and Gamera live in Japan. Sherry actually has a school that she founded to teach English speaking, you know, for the locals to learn English, and young children, you know. So if we're talking maybe 4 to 10 years old, I believe, are the ages in her school. And when Sherry's daughter wanted to get a turtle, it certainly wasn't something that she and her husband wanted, but they wanted to honor, you know, their daughter's wish. And at the time, I believe, you know, they got Gamera was, you know, maybe the size of a half dollar, English half dollar. So what's interesting, though, about their relationship is that Sherry is an animal communicator and an intuitive and an empath. So she's already connecting really deeply to any animal that's in the house. And she'd always got the sense that Gamera was this, you know, old soul, deep thinker. And when people and the children at the school would go up to him and look at Gamera, they would get in this trance state. And a lot of times the children before that were very volatile, or they were just discombobulated or ungrounded. And, you know, Sherry would get where she would tell the teachers, have them go out to Gamera and just connect with him. Well, of course, young children, they love to, you know, look at turtles or fish or whatever. And immediately they would get grounded and centered. And I just found it fascinating to hear all the observations that Sherry had about what Gamera was doing for the students there. Because like you, we never know what these animals are doing. Is it just, okay, they're in this aquarium, you know, are they working? And she said, oh, yeah, he's working all the time. And would they feel, the children feel different after going over and connecting with him? And I just thought that's extraordinary.
Well, I think it is extraordinary, too, although when you look at turtles, they always have this wise presence about them. I mean, they're, you know, especially when they're old and ancient, right, they just have, you know, they know things, right? But, I love the fact that, you know, we have to, you know, appreciate all the beings in our life,
you know, and be open to receive them. I have a question I want to ask you, Tammy. How do you counsel people who are going through the loss of a beloved animal companion? What do you offer people to, through that process?
Well, I talk about this a lot in my second book, and I really like to help people look at loss of an animal as a time that they can, that can be sacred, and that they can honor the animal companion for all that the animal has done for them, versus it be a place of fear. And of course, when we experience a big loss and it's very difficult to recover from the loss, that's usually our inner child that's really connected to that animal who, you know, who has, the animal has been representing and filling their inner child in a way that they probably weren't, you know, as children. And so a lot of times when they experience a loss, I will guide them to begin to fill their inner child and send that love and tell that part of yourself that you're going to be okay, and they're going to be on the other side, and they're going to be, the relationship will still be there, it'll just be different. And that they can gift the animal and honor them by integrating those beautiful, beautiful traits of learning self-love at a new level, because then that animal has evolved and getting high fives on the other side, like, hey, she or he got it, you know, that what I came to do, they're now integrating, you know. So I always tell people to take however long you need to take to grieve, and it's different and unique for each person, but the more you can actually let it out and maybe grieve with the other animals that are left in your house. If there's more animals in the house, they're going to be grieving as well. Grieve with them. Don't push it down, and try as much as possible to self-soothe with your inner child who's thinking, oh my gosh, I've lost this golden light that made me feel so good. And so to honor the animal, you want to look in the mirror and imagine it's your animal looking at you and say, you know, that same beautiful golden light when you look at yourself is the same way that they were looking at you. And that way, that is a beautiful way that you can honor them.
You know, that's a beautiful reminder. I think we as a culture have such a difficult time with loss. And even though, you know, if you take on an animal, you know that you will probably survive them, right? So you know that their lives are not as long as yours, but it's always such a difficult time to let go of something you love. It's just our culture really has a hard time with that in general. So
it is, especially 24/7. They're around us 24/7, so whenever we're around someone that much, it's a greater loss than when we see them a couple times a year, right? You know, so it's just, to me, it's not different. Sometimes it can be even harder than losing a person that's close to you because of how much you open up your hearts to animals and let them get in there so deeply because they're so safe to love.
Have you had experiences of animals reincarnating back into the, you know, the person's life, but in a new form, but same soul?
Absolutely, it happens all the time, and this was all something that was new to me as well before I started this journey the last couple of decades, but I have seen it time and time and time again, and within my own animals as well. These last two animals that I adopted, these two kitty brothers, I was very surprised to find out the first sessions I did on them that both of them had been with me before in this life. And they really started that journey for me to look more deeply at that, how that navigates, how that works, how much, you know, a lot of people will know on a spiritual path that we have a soul group of different beings that will reincarnate with time and time again. But people don't realize a lot of times that we have animals that we will choose to reincarnate with time and time again. And we know that because when we recognize them, when we see them, and it's as if that sense of familiarity is there where we haven't probably known and loved that being for a very long time. And that's what magnetizes people to be together. And did you recognize them when they came into your life at first?
Not initially. It wasn't until, no, I was kicking and screaming. I did not want to get additional animals. I had recently lost a couple at 17 and 18 years of age. I was still grieving, and at that point I had a book tour going, and I was going to be traveling and didn't want to bring two in. But every time, I'm a meditator, so every time I closed my eyes to meditate, I kept seeing these six gray kittens, and I did not want it. And so I went into the room, and I always coach people that when there's a bunch of signs, and they're really, you know, 2x4s, that you need to really wake up, because there's probably something that your soul has planned that you're trying to wake up to. And when I found out that one of the local rescue organizations that I donate sessions to had a litter of six gray kittens, I said, I think I need to come meet them. And then I said, they have a kitten room. They have free roaming rooms, and they had a free roaming kitten room. And there were all flavors in there, right? Calicos and black ones and white ones and gray ones. And I mean, just all types. And so I said, I'm going to go in that room. And if I sit on the floor, and I'm not going to go towards any of them, and if two of them, because I always wanted two, because I want them to have a buddy when I'm not home. And I said, if two of them choose me, and they are, you know, they get along well, then that's the only way I'm bringing home to. And as soon as I sat down, one of the gray kittens from that litter came over and was like, oh, hi, I know you. And I was like, oh, no, do I know this one? And then he kept running and playing with one of the other ones. And then sooner, you know, maybe 5 minutes later, all of a sudden both of them were sitting on my lap. And I did not encourage it. And I did not recognize them at that point. But the first time I did sessions on them, because they both had some work, you know, they both kind of came in with a couple little ailments that needed fixed. And so when I did sessions on them, they both showed me who they were the last time they were with me.
Oh, well, that must have been delightful for you to have that.
It was. Yes, it was. But people tend to get that feeling, too. And they'll say, you know, they can act like so-and-so. And they'll, you know, the name of a dog that they had as a child or that they had in their teens or something. And if you get those little nudges where you think, I think they're so-and-so, then it probably is them. And they won't be exactly alike, because you're not exactly as you were the last time you were together. You changed a lot. And so your vibration is different. So you're going to call, their vibration is going to be different too. It's really fascinating.
It is fascinating. I have a friend who loves cats, and she was telling the story. She had a favorite cat, and that cat had a little quirky behaviors, and it died. And she found another kitten, and lo and behold, that kitten had all the same quirky behaviors. So she knew it was the reincarnation of, you know, her beloved cat. So, you know, this is where life is magic, right? You know, we think we live in a rational world, and actually we don't live in a rational, logical, left brain world at all. We live in a very magical universe where we have these incredible experiences that really should be accepted as part of what life is all about here, but because we're really not conditioned and taught to embrace the otherworldly side of this experience, you know, we're always surprised. But actually, we live in a very magical universe, and these things are happening all the time to us, and we just have to pay attention to them.
Yes, we're unlearning what we were taught, and that continues throughout our life. I think we come in, you know, beautiful and perfect, and then we have to, as adults, we have to unlearn.
That's it, getting back to our pure essence. So you know, in discussing your this new book that you've written, The Animal Way Showers, is there anything that you want to particularly share with people about this, you know, this message that has come through in your work?
Absolutely. And that I have to go in the direction, all of my work, all of my books and my practice is always about, what are the animals teaching you about yourself so that you can be your best self, so that you can emulate them
And, you know, my favorite chapter in the book is a chapter that talks about, okay, so here are their gifts. Here are my 12 favorite 5D practices for you to continue to evolve that are important for humanity's soul growth. And I'll give a few of those, but I mean, the point I'm making is that these are the things that the animals are saying, yes, do this. I do this. Please emulate me. Do these things and you're going to be suffering a lot less. You're going to be having more of these magical synchronicities, as you said, that life is, and you're going to see it all the time like they do, you know, in the land of acceptance and non-judgment and forgiveness, you know, and peace. These are the things that the animals are wired for. And so, you know, I would say that, off the top of my head, a couple of my favorite tips that I talk about in the book are, one of them is more vibrational awareness. And that really speaks into what are the things in your life that you can tell lowers your vibration or gets you in a bad mood? What are you watching? What are you reading? What are you listening to? What are you eating? What are you doing with your body? You know, these are the types of things that either lower your vibration to having more 3D experiences, which is where there's more suffering, or, you know, is it going to raise your vibration up to more of those 5D frequencies where we can see that magic all the time happening around us because we're in that land, we're in that higher level of consciousness. So be really cognizant of what you're, you know, exposed to. What are you exposing yourself to? What gets you going? And try to eliminate those things as much as you can. I don't mean put your head in the sand, of course. We need to be current on what's happening in the world. I understand that. But the more we can say, oh, you know, when I am with so-and-so, I don't walk away feeling great. Or when I watch this, I get all riled up. You know, why am I still watching this or reading this? So enhancing your level of self-love and really leaning into the spiritual support that's always around you, always available to help you through whatever experiences you have. It's that feeling of belonging that we're all seeking and that animals come in and they fill this gap for, but they're really wanting us to self-fill, integrate what they're teaching us. We're never alone. We are never alone. There is a plethora of good that we can lean into from these spiritual realms that will support our every move.
So one of the important take-home messages as I'm listening to you is to perceive animals in our life. They come in many different ways. There's great stories of birds wild birds that just show up, right? Or someone finds a baby sparrow and brings it back to life, and that animal becomes attached and lives with them. I mean, there are many ways that animals or the spirit is guiding these creatures to come into our life for healing purposes. And I think what you're sharing is pay attention to perceiving your animals in that light, that these are wise beings that have chosen to appear in our reality at this time for healing, for teaching, for whatever, however that may unfold. But it's not just seeing what your animal is as an animal. There's so much more to that being, to be open, to receive the gifts, receive the teachings, to receive the healings that being, that consciousness is bringing to us.
Yeah, they are beautifully in the universal flow such that they are responding to our vibration and whatever we need in that moment. So yes, wake up and look at these ambassadors of love.
Yeah, that's such a beautiful thought. I want you to be sure to share with us, Tammy, the work that you do. What are you, you know, offering people in terms of your services? Tell us a bit about what you are doing and what's available through your work. works. I know you work with humans and animals as well.
I do. Thank you for letting me share that. I offer many different services. Probably my signature service is that I work in tandem with people and their animal, because almost always, you know, if a person has called in an animal that has, let's say, separation anxiety or abandonment issues, you can bet that that animal is mirroring for them their own unhealed abandonment wounds. So I work in tandem where I connect energetically to both the animal and the person to help them work on what they came together to heal together. And that's probably my signature. I also obviously do individual sessions with animals and people. But then I also have these master classes, and I do have one that I'm launching on February 2nd for on the contents of this book. And it's really fun. I did the test on this with 36 people in the fall. And I bring in different speakers and different meditations, and everyone gets to connect to different animals and get their personal messages from these animal way showers. So I have these different master classes based on the contents in each book that I just love doing. And I promise you, anyone in those classes is going to leave feeling more connected to all there is, and hopefully living more from 5D. That's my personal goal and intention that I'll hold for each master class. So go to my website, TammyBuilds.com, and that's where all of my different services are, and that's where all of the dates for the master classes are as well.
Well, that's exciting. An exciting project for the new year. So if people want to learn more, I'm just going to give people your website again so they will be sure to check out the services. So it's Tammy Billups, B-I-L-L-U-P-S. com, and Tammy is T-A-M-M-Y Billups, B-I-L-L-U-P-S.com. And if you go to Tammy's site, then she has lots of great information and great wisdom. And be available to do sessions, to book sessions. Obviously, you work with people all over the world, Tammy. And now you have this class available. So go check out what Tammy is doing. It's a profound and fascinating world, being able to communicate with all of life, and particularly working with the animals, Tammy. It must be very exciting for you, and I'm sure you're so grateful that this world, this gift has opened up to you in this lifetime.
Yes, I'm very grateful. And the animals in my past before my awakening, I promise you, they saved my life. And so this is my way that I get to pay them back and help all animals get their messages to their people.
Yeah, what a beautiful mission in life. So we only have a minute or so left. You have a final thought that you'd like to share with everyone?
Oh, you know, the animals really just want you to, everyone, to really increase and enhance their level of self-love. And that is their main mission in life, is to have you do that. So just remember, next time you look in the mirror, to look at yourself like your animal does, and you will be honoring them.
Yeah, that's beautiful. And, you know, just to tie it in with your latest book about ushering the life of the 5D consciousness, if we can also shift our perception to understanding that we have this being in our life that's a gift to teach us the experience of unconditional love, to show us more wisdom and more strategies to live in a place of harmony, raising our frequency. That is so important right now, because that is really what is needed at this point in the evolution of consciousness on this planet, is to raise the frequencies to love. If we're going to transform this world, we have to move into what is considered 5D, right? You know, the dimension of unconditional love. So it's beautiful for those that have animals, in whatever way they show up in your life, to thank them for being there for us, to teach us and help us on this healing journey of really remembering who we are, which is love. So, Tammy, thank you so much for this time with you, and thank you so much for the wonderful work you're doing in the world. And I'm sure all your animal beings are so happy that they have found someone that can help communicate and support their humans in this dimension.
Yes, thank you, Dr. Cheryl. Such a pleasure, and thank you for all of your beautiful work in the world.
Yes, thank you. And thank everyone listening for another opportunity to have these wonderful, uplifting, transforming conversations. And Tammy, thanks again for all that you do. Thanks for being here. And I want to thank all my listeners for tuning in again, and hopefully you'll be back again next week. And until then, may your week be filled with love, peace, and harmony. Bye for now.